Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue collar workers for blue collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American. This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. New from Moultrie Mobile, the Feed Hub offers first-of-its-kind cellular connection and control for nearly any spin cast feeder on the market. When used with the Moultrie Mobile app, you can monitor feed and battery levels, run feeders on demand, receive alerts when feeders are clogged, and remotely adjust feeding times. The Feed Hub is ideal for anyone who maintains feeders. Remove the guesswork and save time by planning feeder maintenance before you drive to your hunting property. For more information, visit MoultrieMobile.com.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands for the super athletic stuff, like running gear for cruising up the trail. Woo! And the super athlete-ish stuff, like fishing gear for chilling by the creek. Nice cast. Fitness apparel to push for higher reps. You got this. And golf balls priced so you can afford to lose one. Or a few. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athlete-ish, Sierra's got it.
5 a.m. I'm up with a crisp Celsius energy drink. Running 12 miles today. Grab a green juice, quick change, and head to work. Meetings, workshops, one more Celsius, no slowing down. Working late, but obviously still meeting the girls for a little dancing. Celsius, live, fit, go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
Welcome to the Range Podcast. I'm Ricky Brewley, and with me is Jake Hollywood Iverson. Join us at the Archery Range, where we'll tell stories from the hunt, discuss technical bow shooting tactics and gear, and pick the brains of some of the most successful people to ever shoot a bow. Whether you're about to shoot that X for the win, or send an arrow at a trophy buck, this podcast is for you. The Range Podcast is brought to you by Vapor Trail Archery, makers of the best bowstrings money can buy, originators of limb-driven arrow rest technology, and innovators of stokerized stabilizer systems.
Welcome to The Range, everybody. I'm your host, Ricky Brewley. We're here in the Vapor Trail Studios. You can find the video version of this episode on our YouTube channel, so make sure you head over there, subscribe, give us a like, and hit that bell so you can be up to date on all things archery. Also, be sure to head over to the Vapor Trail and Stokerized social channels, and you can find The Range podcast on both Facebook and Instagram as well. Today, I've got a longtime friend of Vapor Trails, a longtime friend of myself, and some of the original founders of Vapor Trail, Jared Fondy and Steve Fondy. I believe he is self-proclaimed first pro staffer ever for Vapor Trail.
Always just
taking me out on turkey hunts, and always just been a great mentor for me in the turkey woods as well as just in life in general. And, really just kind of brought me into your family. So I really feel like I'm a part of his family.
Absolutely.
I like to call him the turkey whisperer. he has brought many a bird in front of me, and we'll get into the details about how I, fail in under pressure.
But epically.
Yes.
Epically, I'll add.
Something that you will never let me live down.
Nope.
But ladies and gentlemen, we have Mr. Charles Dustman in the house. Thanks for being here, man. How are you?
Well, thanks for having me. I'm doing good.
Yeah.
A little bit tired, but good.
You just got off a 13-hour shift over there at Federal, huh?
Correct.
So, yeah, folks, we're here in Anoka, and the Federal manufacturing facility is just down the road.
Yeah.
So let's. Why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself? What's your origin story as far as, you know, hunting goes, specifically with a bow, and then just a little bit about you and your family?
So I grew up, my dad was an upland guy, never really deer hunted. I did have a bow through high school. I wasn't overly into it. Had a couple buddies that had bows, and we just shot some. Never really hunted with it until right when I got out of the military. So 92, 93, I took it up, and then I found turkeys.
And
my life was over as we know it. I'm not quite at Matt Dyke's numbers, but mine are up there.
I'd be willing to bet that you spent an equal amount of time.
Oh, 100%. 100%. But, yeah. it gets tough. I did mentor hunts for a good number of years. Me, Pat Cahill, a couple other guys. And then when Minnesota changed the law where you don't, the youth get to hunt all season, where if you do the mentor hunt, you only get 2 days and you only get till noon.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of branched out from that and kept taking like handicapped people, a lot of youths, but I get more joy in watching them smoke their first one and me putting them on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get it twisted. I still want to put them on the ground, but it's just something inside me that, I can't explain the passion for turkeys. And you've known me a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be the middle of June, and I'll be like, oh, God, there's 322 days left till we can,
Oh, yeah.
And I hunt a lot. I mean, I bring a good number of people out and kids, and the one person that I've really been missing is my kid.
Yeah.
He's so busy with football that when he comes home, he's just exhausted.
Yeah.
And I told myself, as bad as I want to hunt with him, I have a really hard time waking him up.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do the 2-time rule. If he doesn't get up the second time, and it's no hard feelings, but, mm-hmm. Kid needs to sleep.
Yeah.
So, but he's got this last football season, and then next year we're going to tear some stuff up.
let's talk a little bit about that. So Hunter is a 2-time national champion. With the South Dakota State Jackrabbits.
Yep. Former employee of yours?
Yes. Yep. Yep. One of the best. One of the best. Always on time. Yes, sir. No, sir. Yeah. You know, that kind of stuff. Just a great kid. And been out. He took me out turkey hunting the one day.
Oh, that's right.
We had a couple of birds that were hanging up, and we couldn't get them to come in. And he could have blasted one with the shotgun through the window, you know. Yeah. But I was like, I just kept saying, "Hold up, just hold up. Let's see if we can get them both in and get a double."
Yep.
And then they didn't come in, and then, which was, and but it was such, it was a just an awesome morning. It was so cool. And then, you know, spent some time out in South Dakota too. That was a ton of fun. Yeah. But yeah, just a good kid. He's a kicker, place kicker.
Yeah.
And he punts too.
Yep. He's one of the very few in Division I. He does everything kicking related.
Yeah.
So it's been quite the journey. It messes up my fall, but, you know.
I remember that one game that I went to, that high school game, when he was at St. Francis.
Yeah.
And I watched this kid punt the ball like over 50 yards. Yeah. And I'm like, this is unheard of.
Yeah.
I mean, so, yeah, he's got quite the leg. Next year, going to blast the turkeys like there's no tomorrow.
We're going to Nebraska, and actually, it's a teammate of his. His dad was an actual Top Gun pilot.
Oh.
Maverick Goose shit.
No kidding.
Yep.
Wow.
He retired 3 years ago, lives in southeast Nebraska, but he runs the family farm now.
Hmm.
So I talked to him, and I'm like, well, how many acres do you have? Well, just north of 3,000.
Was that it?
I'm like, did we just become best friends?
And oh, that's funny.
So, yeah, I hit him up. I said, what are the odds of you letting Hunter and I come out? He's like, you have access to the farm no matter what. So Hunter doesn't know it yet. Mm, so
there you go.
He probably will after he listens to this, but yeah, that'll be one of our trips.
Are you going, is that this season or?
No, next.
Okay.
Because he literally will have the 28th, 29th, and 30th. He'll have a Sunday, Monday, and possibly that Tuesday morning, and mm-hmm. then he might have a couple days at the end of May.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, They just go and go and go and go and go.
Right.
It's absolutely, you know, they win the national championship, take 2 weeks off, and then you're back to mandatory lifting and conditioning like 4 days a week. So,
jeez.
But, and I know he's tuned up and he's ready to, that's his, it's just, you know, I listened to a couple of podcasts and you guys talk about that awe moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and for me, I wish I could explain what I feel inside when I turkey hunt. It's magical. It's, you know, you get to watch the world wake up, and then you hear that one gobble, and it's like, F yeah, it's on. it's, you know, and it never gets old. Mm-hmm. I mean, I killed my first bird in 1997, and that was the biggest high slash curse that ever happened to me. It had to be, it was the dumbest bird in the upper Midwest. How I shot this thing, jumped two fire breaks. And by the way, for the record, the fire breaks are really deep.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to jump them. Cause I did and was up over my head. And I had to jump out, stake the decoy. I was going to try to jump back over. I'm like, yeah. So I ran the 100 yards down, went around, and went jumped in the blind. But I called this bird from private property onto public land. It jumped two fire breaks and ran across this field like 250 yards, and I shot it, and it was over. It was – I could not get enough of it.
Yeah.
It's – yeah, but back then, you know, you couldn't find an old timer to give any hints or tips, you know, and you had a 5-day season, you could hunt till noon, mm-hmm. and, you know, you put the miles on scouting and watching after noon and, you know,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, I look back and just go, I dicked up so many hunts back then. Mm-hmm. It just, it's insane. But yeah, that passion never, yeah, I can't explain it.
Yeah.
You've known me a long time. Mm-hmm. It's just that first sit and you hear that first gobble and I just.
Yeah.
I become a different person.
Yeah, it's funny, and I've seen that in you too. That leads me to a story that I want to tell. You know, just about multiple things, right? Like, it's not all just so much about you killing the bird, but just being out there, being a part of it. And there was a couple years back where you had knee surgery.
Oh, I know where you're going.
And and Charles is like, "Well, are we going turkey hunting or what?" And I'm thinking, well, buddy, how are you going to, like, you're on crutches, man.
Yeah.
And he's like, just looks at me like, who do you think you're talking to here, yeah, bro?
Well, it wasn't knee surgery. They took my knee out.
Yeah.
I spent 8 days in ICU because it got so infected.
Yeah.
And I got drawn for South Dakota and obviously couldn't go. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I got a flipping turkey hunt, and it was zero weight bearing. And so who do I call? My buddy, Rick. You're like, your wife is going to kill me if she ever finds out. So yeah, I crutched, it's gotta be well over a quarter mile.
Oh yeah. It's at least that. And it's across a cut cornfield. And so, and we're not going with the rows. We're going at a 45 degree angle across the rows. And you've got crutches, and we've got the old double bull.
The wild thing
pack. It's got, it was pretty cool, but it's big. It's, you know, and then you got your blind on there, and we got all the decoys on there. And we got all the
chairs.
Stuff.
Yeah.
And I know where we're going, luckily. So I just like hightail all the gear out there, and you get started coming across with some of the stuff. And I get over there and I just dump everything, and I come back and get the rest of the stuff. And
went back.
And you were just, and it was like, I remember your crutches were just post-holing through that mud, you know, digging a foot in. You know,
wasn't my smartest move ever.
I was like, man, I'm like, I love it. You know what I mean? Because it just really shows, you know, the passion. And admittedly, and I talked about this with Matt too, is that I haven't been bit with the bug like you guys. I'm not thinking about it 24/7 like you guys. But when the season comes around, I start getting pretty pumped up. And then like last year when I shot my bird with a bow, I mean, that was awesome. It was and you know, it's funny when I think about it now, that morning when we went out, when you crutched across the field, did we get a bird to come in that morning?
No, you remember.
Combine came out.
We had two working. And then here comes my farmer in the combine.
Yeah, that's
And I remember when I finally climbed in the blind, and we were out there 40 minutes early. Mm-hmm. And you just start laughing, and I'm like, what are you laughing at? And you were just like, you were so hardcore. I'm like, well, I don't know about hardcore versus stupid. If my wife, oh, my gosh. Dude, she would have hung me. She would have hung. Well, even Keith, the farmer, remember when he stopped and I climbed down? And he's like, "What happened to you?" I'm like, "Oh, they took my knee out." And he kind of looked around. He's like, "How the hell did you get out here?"
Yeah, that's
like,
right.
I crutched. You crutched it. I'm like, yep, sure did. He's just like, "Oh boy." So yeah, that was. I had to go.
Yeah.
I had to go.
Yeah. And then, you know, luck have it, the farmer come out. But I think about, so all the other hunts that we've gone on, and I don't think I've got a bird with you.
Uh-uh.
I don't think you've ever taken a hero shot with me with a bird. And granted, I've only killed three, so.
Well.
If you
could have shot straight.
Right.
A few years ago, you.
We'd have three at least.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And this is again. So speaking of persistence, right? Like, his persistence doesn't just stop at turkey hunting. It also stops with busting people's chops when they can't shoot straight.
Yeah.
So that'll never be. Every year I get the photo because he was filming. I was going for a headshot. I was shooting a Magnus bullhead, and I was, man, that arrow is like a foot off from the bird's head.
Well, if you zoom in, you can see your fletching.
Yeah.
And then I put the arrow right there.
Yep.
There's your arrow. Not even close to the bird.
But. And I love it too because you have the photo where then you like use the markup feature on your phone, so it's like chicken scratch on there saying it's classic. Yep. It's a glorious photo. And I get it every year, and I should.
Yep. Well, just like Hunter, last time we were in South Dakota, and that was his first miss, I think, since he was like 9 years old.
He was so bummed out.
Oh, but I got the perfect picture. And that it was on Instagram like 30 seconds after I took it. Hashtag boy wonder. Hashtag sucks to be human. Yeah, could not believe he missed.
Yeah, that was wild. That bird was like not even, 10 yards, 15 yards, something like that. Came right in. Nice little Merriam.
Yeah, and that's what he needs. Well, we both need that one.
Yeah. That's been a struggle. That was a struggle bus out there, man. Like, I mean, we saw lots of birds, but they were just, by the time we'd get out there, it was like,
oh,
they eluded us around every turn.
I love it out there. It's gorgeous. It's fun hunt. I mean, I pay for it with my knee, but, you know, up and down the canyons, and you just can't. Turkey hunting to me, out of all the birds I've ever killed, I've only killed one by myself. To me, turkey hunting is... going with the people that you care about makes it even more special.
Right.
You know, miss or hit. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think now that I'm older, I'm striving for that. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, like my one daughter who hunts, she moved up to Bemidji, and she's like, well, would you be mad if I hunted up here? Like, well, I don't know how you're going to do that because you're going to tag out when you're hunting with me at the farm. So no, I won't be mad. Don't take that away from me. That's my time, you know, and it's very special to me. And and I think that fuels me even more now that I'm getting a little bit up there in age, but yeah, I can't wait. I'm out of work at 4 a.m. next Wednesday. And I just cannot wait to that first. Yep. I don't know. I'm a wreck, dude.
So let me ask you. So do you just buy the archery tag and just do the archery season? Yeah. Or did you buy? Okay.
No.
Yeah. See, I succumbed to the shotgun the last couple of years.
Well, so do a lot of women. I can't tell you. I think the last bird that I took with a firearm, I want to say Hunter was 7. So he's 21 now.
Yeah.
You know, so. But it took me a couple of years to, I had plenty of opportunities, but yeah, it's not as easy as it looks.
Right.
I mean, putting a bird on the ground is special no matter what, but yeah, I'm not into the 55-yard shots with a shotgun. And, you know, now Hunter, when he comes home, he'll hunt with a shotgun because he's only got 3 mornings or, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And I'm totally cool with that. Mm-hmm. I don't care. But for me, I'd rather arrow one.
Yeah, there's something about that of the 3 that I've killed, which I bet you I've shot at 20 birds. Thank you. I was hoping for that reaction as you're taking a sip.
It's a lot of wreck broadheads, Ricky.
Yeah, just bad. It's amazing. I mean, there's something about, you know, you get kind of hyped up. You get, you know, obviously I get super jacked up,
and
super nervous, start getting shaky and all that, which is great, which is good, because if I didn't, I don't know if I'd do it anymore.
Right.
You know? So there's something about that. But the birds that I've taken with a bow, there's just something more special about it. And every one of them has been, you know, under 8 yards,
you know,
and I think that's where the mistakes I was making in the beginning when I first started hunting turkeys is I was trying to, you know, I could shoot distance, but I was trying to pop them at 30 and 40 yards, you know, like, and I remember this one, I was hunting out in this place in Big Marine and I emptied my quiver on this bird. I mean, and I made the mistake of setting up on a barbed wire fence line. And then of course they come in on the other side of the barbed wire fence. And it, the first shot was only like maybe 6 or 7 yards, you know.
Did you hit the fence?
And I shot and I hit the fence and, I was conscious of it, you know what I mean? But at the same time, so I'm like looking at my pin, I was like, ah, what's the likelihood? I'm this being this close, what's the likelihood I'm gonna hit the fence? Of course I hit the fence.
Right.
Then they kind of start taking off and they're going away from me. So I'm like quick, you know, knock another arrow. I'm like, I don't have time to range it, you know, so I'm just guessing yardage, you know, and I emptied my quiver. I shot all five arrows.
That's impressive.
Not a single one of them can. and then they're still sitting out there at 20 yards and I got nothing. I got no bullets left. And I'm just like, what do I do now? Maybe I can get out of the blind and chase one down. I don't know. We'll see.
That's the taunt. We're going to just hang out here.
Oh my gosh. Just terrible. It's hard. It's so hard. Yeah. And then and I hate to admit it, but I have hit a few that I didn't find. And again, you know, just not practicing enough, not, you know.
That'll get you.
That day when I missed that bird that you've got the video of, that was one of those ones where I wasn't practicing with all my equipment on. I knew my bow was sighted in, everything was good. It was dialed, you know, but then when I went home and I, you know, had my face mask on and all my gear and stuff and shat from a seated position, which you usually do. Like if you, well, you might be standing if you shat or is it called a shart?
Well, you gotta be careful with sharts. Those will get you.
But anyway, so yeah, I practiced from a seated position with my face mask on, my gear on and stuff. And I was hitting to the left.
I think in that video, yeah, you missed left.
And so there's that, and then probably also just freaked out.
Well, you've seen me fall apart. I don't know what, I can't explain it. I don't get that fire. I mean, I get fired up when a decent buck comes in, or even a big buck, but it's just something about the turkeys that, you know, full strut. I literally just, out of all the birds I've taken, I don't ever remember releasing the arrow.
Yeah.
Not one time. Not once. And I've never, well, the only bird I've ever lost, technically it wasn't, I didn't lose it because I wasn't in the blind, and that was with Steve. I took Steve out behind the house, and I ended up having to leave to go pick my niece up, and he shot, and he couldn't remember where. And my God, I looked for that thing for 2 days straight and could not find it anywhere.
Yeah.
Other than that, I've never had to track one, never had to. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's when you have enough confidence in your practice and your ability, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I got the best bow guy in the freaking country setting my bow up.
Maybe.
Yeah. Don't. Take the credit, dude. Take the credit.
I may have contributed to thousands of dead animals, yes.
Yes. And you are the only person that will ever touch my Hoyt, ever, ever, ever.
Which pains me, by the way.
Well, at least it's not a crossbow.
Yes, this is true. You're just like one step above a crossbow right now with the Hoyt.
God dang, that hurt. Certified killer? It's a certified killer.
Yes, it is. It is. This is just how I get back at you for all the other painful things that you do to me.
I got the coolest strings made too.
That's right.
So
yeah, you got the yellow and the blue.
Yep. Jackrabbit colors.
Jackrabbit color themed bow. You got the custom acrylic stabilizer.
Oh.
So yeah, it's a killer. It's done its job.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's, I wish I could practice more, but, you know, I've been overnights for 11 years now, and it just gets tough. But I know if I don't, I still have confidence in the amount of time that I'm shooting, you know. Mm-hmm. And especially on a bird, it's, if you take your time and really dial it in, and don't get it twisted, it's been a shit show in those blinds more than once. You know, now that I got glasses and I can't shoot with them on, so I got to take them off. And 2 years ago, I missed and ran out, and I ranged it, and I couldn't even put my pin in because I couldn't see the numbers. So I'm asking Jeremy, I'm like, dude, slide my pin up to 45 yards. He moves it up. He's like, what the? I'm like, I can't read it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and then smoked that one at 45. So
that's nice.
Yeah, it was my first archery double.
Yeah.
So it was pretty cool.
That's cool. I was just thinking, I've four turkeys I've taken, not three, four. Anyways, random thought. Huh. I was just counting them out in my head.
You're getting there.
Yeah, getting there.
You're getting there.
See, now I'm to the point where, just like kind of like you were saying, my time is so limited now. Yeah. Where I'm just like, man, it's hard to justify it without putting one on. Because now it's more about sustenance as well. Like, yeah. There's a lot more about that, even though, you know, a turkey's not going to, you know, feed me for a year or nothing.
Right.
But I love turkey, man. I love the way it tastes. It's just amazing.
I don't understand the people that say that it's horrible. Then you had it cooked horrible.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Yeah, I got a farmer where I goose hunt that if we do get multiple birds within the family, I'll always I clean one up and bring one over to him. Mm-hmm. You know, and he absolutely loves them. Mm-hmm. So, and for me, if all three of us fill our tags, you know, it's better to share the wealth with. He lost his hand in a combine accident, so he literally can't hunt, he can't, you know. So it's easy. I feel better being able to help him out, and he loves it.
Yeah, you know?
So yeah, it unfortunately none of them ever make it to Thanksgiving in my house. Yeah. None of them.
Yeah, and speaking of that, so I was just thinking, I almost feel like, because my wife, she's not really much of a hunter, but she has a strange disdain for turkeys. Almost like, unless it's a bird of prey, they're soulless, she says. And so she wouldn't hesitate to blast one in the head. So maybe we might have to do that.
Oh.
In the last, well, gosh, maybe they're over the counter, so we could probably get her one over the counter. Yeah. We might have to try to get her out one morning. That might be tough with,
Emma.
That's what's awesome about turkey hunting too, because I took Emma out a couple times last year. You know what I mean? And it's like you can nestle into the blind and you can kind of stay warm, and Emma just had a blast, just, you know, spinning the turkeys around.
It's cool.
I was getting the blind set up and everything like that, and I spun around and looked outside the blind, and she was just out there just whipping that turkey around and just big old smile on her face, and I'm just like, oh man, this is where it's at. So that is the one. That's probably one of my favorite things too, like you said, is just the people that you get to hang out with, and just the conversations that you and I have had in the blind and out in South Dakota. And
the thing with me is I mean, I cherish the few years that you and I went out there. Mm-hmm. You know, we drive right to the spot. We cook breakfast on the tailgate.
Yep.
And then we're off and we're hunting. And, you know, it's more people need to do it, because I think the world would be a better place. Just calm the F down. You get in the blind and it's, you know, you literally get to watch the world wake up.
Yep.
Everything God created, it's right there. Mm-hmm. And yeah. And I don't get that. I don't know if it's because of the long winter, you know what I mean?
Yeah, probably.
But it's different than when I bow hunt, you know, for whitetail. It's just a different feeling.
Yeah.
And the memories I've made. Yeah. I mean, I think I'm at, between guided and killed, I think I'm at 78 birds.
Yeah, man.
And I don't take 1 second for granted. Mm-hmm. And if I could hunt every day, I literally would hunt every day.
Yeah.
For the whole 5-6 seasons, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for 100%. Mm-hmm. And there's years that I've come pretty close.
Yeah.
You know, but Yeah, 2 years ago, I took a seven-year-old out, and this dude was, he was so awesome. We literally low crawled like 100 yards and got to the fence line and just burrowed in right there and come walking up, shot it at like 18 yards or something. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, it was so cool. And now that dude, that kid is hooked for life. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And that's, you know, when I was doing the mentor hunts, I would tell the parent or whoever came with the child, Mike, you're screwed after this. Well, what do you mean? You're going to be calling me, asking me what calls to get, what decoys to get. And true to form, every single one of them are now turkey hunters.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, I can't wait till this time next week.
Yeah. It's coming.
Cannot wait.
So this episode is going to air on Monday, which will be 2 days before our opener. I just wanted to touch on a little bit on why you're called the Turkey Whisperer, at least in my mind. And I think about some of those hunts that we went on, and I have never seen somebody work a bird so hard and for so long. And it's like, I'm like, no way is this bird coming. He's hung up. He ain't coming in. It's not happening. And somehow, some way, I mean, you pull out the Rolodex of calls, this, you know, just pull it out and it's like, okay, change it up, switching it up, different call. Try this. Let's do this. Let's do that. And just persistent.
Yeah.
And those birds come in. And I gotta say, you know, in the moment, I can see that you wanna, you know, put me in a figure four of some sort after I miss, but you get them in, they come in, and then I screw it up.
You're not the only one.
But man, there was that one time. I've got some of the coolest pictures. I've got this picture where there's a couple of whitetails coming across, you know, right up at the top of the hill, and it's foggy, and they're off. You can clearly see they're off in the distance, and then there's this big old tom just all strutted up, you know, in between the deer and the blind.
Was that out at the farm?
Yeah, and he's coming in, and he comes in, and I missed him. But he went over to you guys, and then he got blasted. So, but I the reason I mentioned that is because I'm just thinking about the amazing photos that I got. Oh, maybe that's why I missed. I was so focused on, I'm like, oh, I gotta get pictures of this. This is amazing. but yeah, just unreal with, calling birds in. And even that one that you called in for Hunter when we were out in South Dakota too. And you know, that one made you work for it. And so that's the one thing that, I mean, you've definitely honed that craft. And you could do it really well.
Well, I appreciate that. But it's the one spot, Mr. Joel's place, his old place, I had to become a better caller because we couldn't get out and run and gun there.
Yeah.
So it was one of those, I need to learn how to call next level and just stay with it. And I think that's part of the fire that burns in me. Because it's just a chess game, you know, and they might not like this sound, but you pull out that Cody or, you know, I've got handmade from Southern Outlaw Game Calls. It's just a different tone, a different pitch. Something's going to get them to react to do what I want them to do.
Yeah.
Hunting out at Joel's place all those years, I had to become a better caller.
Yeah.
You know, and that and learning patience. It's, you know, I still to this day, every time I go out, I learn something. You know, I've got the farm pegged. I know where they roost. If they're not, you know, there's only three roost spots. And even out there, if I can call good enough, I have enough confidence and I'm not trying to brag, but it's like, once I hear that first gobble, then it's on. And I'm 100% confident that I'm going to get that bird to come in at some point. So, yeah, and that's the way I approach every hunt. If I hear a gobble or see one, it's on. It's game on.
We'll be right back.
Hey everybody, Ricky Brule here, Vapor Trail. We're really excited about some new features that we've just added to the Gen Integrate X Limb Driver Aero Ref. The previous model that we had the micro adjust knob that stuck out, and so it made it difficult to remove these one piece low pro quiver from Matthews. We've eliminated that knob, and now it's an Allen key that you would use to make that adjustment. We thinned up the area here where the activation cord is as well. We really squeezed it in about a quarter of an inch. It's a little bit lower profile, so now you don't have any issues with the low profile quiver. Comes off nice and easy. You also have, of course, the added feature of the integrated mounting system, so you can mount the aero rest right to the rail on the riser of the bow.
Additional features include new markings that differentiate your locking screws from your windage and elevation screws. All Vapor Trail aero rests have a free-floating head, providing more forgiveness and greater downrange accuracy. No need for a bow press. Simply tie the activation cord to the limb and say goodbye to interference with cam timing caused by cable-driven aero rests. The new and improved GI8X is available and ready to ship. Trust the originators of limb-driven technology and head over to our website at vaportrailarchery.com or stop into your local archery pro shop to get yours today.
So, well, all right, we got Hollywood in here.
Hollywood.
He popped in and...
real quick.
And so we decided we would probably try to get him to join in with us. We're all really close to, if I feel like we're really close together, we're like kind of nuts to butts right now. But
yeah,
we talked about just about all the misses and the fun that we've had in the past and the blind. And then we got to talking and thinking it might be a good idea to try to get you and the blind with him on the opener.
You're talking for turkeys, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Well, he's the turkey whisperer, so naturally we're talking about turkeys.
You won't regret going.
I hope I don't miss for the sake of Rick here.
You better
I
not,
hope you... Yeah, don't follow in my footsteps, please.
You'll
I beg
get
of you.
Emails, and it'll be on Instagram and Twitter. And
you'll never hear the end of it.
Never hear the end of it.
But that's okay, you know. That's what makes you better, right?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Got to razz each other, and that's what makes it so much fun. But so I'm trying to think of, I don't know where we left off here, but I know, so you have an archery tag, right? So you've
always
got, so you're set for April 17th all the way to the, what does it go to, the end of May?
31st.
May. So you're one of those lucky people. I get, what do I get? I think I get 14 days, right? Because I can hunt
B. No, you get longer than that.
I get B and then the last season. It used to correct. Be the last two. Now it's just the last.
Oh, just
season.
The last?
Really?
Yep. I can only use it during F. So they changed that. Yep. Because I looked at the regulations yesterday. Okay. And I'm like, oh weird. They changed that. So we're going to go. I wasn't going to hunt the opener for season B, which is next Wednesday, but the one after. But now it's going to be a good opportunity for us to get some content for Vapor Trail. Damon's going to meet me out at a spot, an undisclosed location, so we can get some shots. And heck, if a bird comes in and I kill it, awesome. And Johnny might be with us too.
With a shotgun?
With a bow.
Okay, good.
We're getting content for Vapor Trail, so
I know
it wouldn't be real good for me to have a gun.
Just like making sure here, because.
But that's why I looked
Mr.
up
shotgun over here.
Yeah, I was looking at the regulations because then Damon kind of made me second guess it. He goes, "Oh, but you have a gun tag. Can you use a bow?" And I'm like, "I'm pretty sure you can, but let me just make sure." Because he said a kid at a Cabela's told him you can't do that, and I'm like, "Well, I think it's the other way around.
It's the other way around."
You can go harder, you can't go easier.
Right, right. Which, you know, and that doesn't apply to deer, because with deer in Minnesota, you have to have a completely separate license and you have to, you know, whatever. But with turkeys, so pretty excited. So I'll get out in the morning with the bow, with Damon behind the camera. We'll see how that goes. I'll do a couple of shotgun mornings. And then if that doesn't work, then I got the last season. And then we were talking about, well, we'll have to talk about this maybe more. I'll see if my wife wants to, but,
yeah,
you know, she would love to whack a bird in the head.
I was just going to say that.
Shoot him right in the face.
Yeah.
Mine gave me a good laugh on Sunday. She's like, I really want to shoot my bow again. I'm like, okay, why is that? Well, I want to kill a turkey. Because now she has a new job where we both have weekends. And I'm like,
there you go.
When was the last time you shot your bow? And she's like, I don't know. Let me just shoot again. I'm like, it's not that easy.
It's not that easy.
She wants to do it with the bow and just turkey hunt for the first time ever, like
that's
this
cool.
year. And I'm like,
give her props.
That's cool. I'm like, that's awesome. But I think a gun will be in your hands, but we'll see. We'll see.
It's like Damon taking a recurve out. I'm like, or taking a longbow out. I'm like, okay, all right.
You run it, man.
I want to shoot one with a longbow.
Yeah.
Oh, it'd be sweet.
I think that'd be awesome. Mm-hmm.
That would be pretty cool.
Big old feathers on the long arrow.
Yeah.
I think he's going to run the decap on there as well. So
That'd be sweet.
Yeah.
The struggle bus, right? Like just having to make things harder for yourself. You know, there's something about that. I don't know what it is, but.
I have another buddy of mine that he's getting into, he wants to try turkey hunting, and he's a like shotgun guy through and through. And he's asking me about all these red dots and all this stuff. I'm like, it's as easy as you go to the store, you get some TSS, you do your job, you get that bird 5 to 20 yards away, and you just aim in its general direction.
Yeah.
It's like with a bow, you got a whole lot more going on. It's like, don't worry about it. He's all freaking out about it.
And good for you plugging Federal in this room too.
There you go.
Everyone raves about the TSS. I don't know what else I would use. So.
It is.
When Hunter missed in South Dakota,
mm-hmm.
he had that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's got to be terrible.
And then
miss with your dad
last
with
year
with the Whisperer with a shotgun.
And then he missed again last year.
Oh, he did? Oh, dude.
And I took the pack and threw it out the freaking way. I go, you're done, dude. Go back to the normal third degree.
Yeah, because that's what I use. Well, I have a bunch of the TSS, but that's 20 gauge.
The 20 gauge is 20 gauge pattern's really good.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I've got stacks of that too, and that's what Kylie shoots, her little 20 gauge, and she hasn't missed. So, but I don't know. I took the rest of the. You're done, dude.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that bird I shot 2 years ago, that was with the third degree, the one that I got an $80 fine for. Oh, you haven't? Maybe you haven't heard that story.
No.
So yeah, I'm quite ashamed of this, but I can, you know, I did my due time, so I'll I can talk about it. But so I take this bird, and me and my Travis takes pictures and all that kind of stuff, and then we get all, the blind all loaded up, and I get it into my pack, and I've got the blind on my back, and I've got the decoys, and I got the bird, and I'm carrying everything, and we're headed out of the woods, and my buddy says, "Hey, did you tag that bird?" And I was like, shoot. Well, I'm like, I can see the car. I'm like, let's just get to the road. I'll dump everything, and then we'll tag it real quick before I put it in the car. And he's like, you sure? I'm like, yeah, dude, we'll be fine. He's like, all right. Come out of the woods, DNR right there. And I'm like, you know, whatever. I didn't, you know, I just put the bird, you know, outside, you know, outside the vehicle, dropped everything. And then he pulled up and was like, yeah, let me see your tag and everything. And so I showed it to him and stuff. And he was like, you know that you are supposed to validate this license immediately upon, you know,
harvesting.
Taking the bird. And I was like, yeah, I was like, I know I'm, I got no excuse. You know, I don't really know what else to say about it. And he literally takes the tag and goes, see right here where it says that you must, you know, and I'm like, yep, I see it. And so I was cooperative, and he was actually pretty cool. He let me keep the bird, which he by all means could have taken the bird and whatever, but he was like, but I do have to cite you for, you know, not validating your license, an $80 ticket.
It's a good lesson.
But again, like super cool that he, you know, he was like, you know, you were legit and everything like that, but.
Yeah.
Got to teach you a lesson. So that'll never happen again. Then, of course, I look over at my buddy Travis, and he's like, he didn't even have to say the words. I knew what was going on in his mind. He's just like, I told you.
Told you.
It's a one-time thing right there.
Yeah, that'll never happen again. But
take your bird.
Remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Last year when I was at the other farm, as soon as I caught that thing in the weeds, took me a second to find him. I had that tag already coming out. I'm like, This is deep private land, but it's not happening to me either. No way.
Yeah.
No way.
Last year's bird got validated immediately.
Yeah.
I got my little video, and then I put the phone down. And
notching it before you shoot it.
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking of that.
That's some confidence.
Shoot it, watch it run away, start tagging it. And I'm like, man, that would be a terrible idea. The two birds I've shot, they've ran, and I've had to chase them down just to make sure. I'm sure they both would have died eventually. But
well, I'm not running.
Yeah.
So I'll leave that to you.
There we go. Oh,
yeah. So I wanted to kind of take a hard turn, and I totally understand if this is not a subject that you want to talk about, or if it's something that isn't something that you want to relive, but I'm just curious. And I think that, you know, so you're a veteran, you spent some wartime over in Desert Storm, right?
Yep.
And again, so you don't have to talk, but I'm just curious, cause we talked a little bit about your knee and, you know, some of that kind of stuff. So I was wondering if you'd be okay telling the story about how that all kind of went down.
My knee?
Yeah. And just like your time over there. And
well, we were over there from 90 to 91, and we were the unit on the Highway of Death. Very, very, very intense fire. I mean, it was a gunfight all night. It sucked. But after they called ceasefire, we were still deployed to clear minefields. And we cleared this big section. We were going to another, I mean, it was far enough to where we put our tanks on the low boy trailers. Mm-hmm. And there's two Egyptian soldiers that were driving, and they freaking pulled over, and they had the chain tighteners that just snapped down, not the ratchet ones. Mm. So they're checking the chains, and we're just kind of laughing at them like, what the f*** are you doing? You know? Mm. And the dude flips it up and goes like five links up, and now we're really laughing at them because I'm like, there's no way they're going to get that thing to snap down.
Mm-hmm.
So the other dude went and got this like 9-foot steel, galvanized steel pipe.
Give some leverage.
Yeah. And they call us down and get down there. And I had my knee was against the trailer. And as we're trying to get this thing to snap down, it snapped right on to crush my knee. And not that that wasn't bad enough, but then I fell and literally ripped everything. So I'm laying on my left shoulder or my left side, and my foot, the bottom part of my leg, was literally 180'd.
Oof.
And I was not happy at all. I
could imagine not.
You know, to make it through the whole flipping war and without a scratch, and then I get taken out by a steel freaking pipe.
Yeah.
I was pissed.
Yeah.
And then, took three of my guys to pull this pipe out, and my leg dropped out, and Doc Rose came up, and I loved Doc. He was so cool. He's like, well, you know what we got to do, right? We got to put it back in place. And I'm like, F, what was it? So he goes, he did the whole, I'm going to count down to three, and then I'll do it. And I'm like, is it going to be 1, 2, 3, and then? Or is it going to be 1, 2, and then? And he's looking me dead in the eyes. He goes, no, it's going to be 1, and just snaps my leg back into place. And, oh, my God, it was.
Ugh, it just makes my stomach, like, turn.
Yeah. So, and it's just an injury I've been battling forever.
Yeah.
You know, since then. And I had the first full replacement 6 years ago that got infected, almost killed me, took it out, you know, 8 days in ICU. Then they put this one in, and now I have like 8-inch rods holding my leg together. And yeah, it's just been a freaking battle.
Yeah, just an ongoing battle.
And, you know, and that, getting back to turkey season, it's, I mean, you've been in South Dakota with me, and the shit that we climb up and down.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the stuff, I've done to try to kill a turkey is just absolutely asinine. you know, other buddies of mine just go, dude, you've got issues. It's sliding down the one mountain at 4:15 in the morning to try to get down to the gully and then walk around to get, yeah, it's like, well, even remember we left the hotel at like 4 a.m. and that dude beat us there. You remember that?
Yeah.
Never, ever again in my life will I get beat to a turkey spot.
Yep.
Ever. I'll sleep in my truck. I'll sleep on the ground. And that, remember that dude shot one too.
Yep. He did.
Good for him. Yep. That ain't going to happen again.
He shot our bird, man.
Yep. I could not believe that truck was sitting there. God, I've never been beat.
And it messes up your game plan too, because you're like, all right, I know that, you know, you put the birds to bed. You're like, I know this is where we're going to be. This is where we want to sit. And it's like, oh, shoot, we didn't really have a plan B. I mean, you know, not that we can't adapt and conjure something.
Yeah.
But, so as we're trying to, complete plan B.
Like, you dirty bastard.
Well deserved.
Congrats.
Yeah, I got beat once last year, and that was the same thing. I'm like,
I don't even like being beat. I don't even like being beaten to the boat ramp.
Yeah,
when I go fishing,
that's what it was making me think of back in college when we were going hard on waterfall. It's like we'd go out 9 p.m. the night before.
Yep,
and literally sleep out there and just wait. And we still had one truck we were sitting with, but beyond that, we'd be out there all night.
Yep, absolutely.
Just for a duck. It's insane to think.
And that's where my wife, over the years, she's given up on me. She just knows it's, you know.
We're sick for it.
She's a turkey widow, right?
She is, yeah. She puts up a lot of my stuff that, you know, between fishing and hunting, it's... Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you guys drag me in because you heard me complaining about my knee and my hip?
No, like, but...
Right when I got in, you just heard me complaining. You're like, oh, I got to shut up Hollywood because Charles has way worse deal than
hey,
me.
Go, my goodness. Go reread the book Unbroken and then you'll stop bitching about your knee and your hip.
I know.
Unbroken?
Just put a knee brace on, I'll be good. Some Tylenol.
I'm reading the book Unbroken right now about Louis Samperini.
Oh, yeah.
And how he survived 47 days on the ocean. And then.
Did you finish it yet?
But it's just like this dude just keeps getting beat down. The bird, man. That freaking commander or whatever, like just relentlessly just hammers on this guy. I don't know how. I mean, there's other people, like there's other POWs that are just dying all around him just for little things.
Yeah.
And this dude is like just, I mean, holy, I mean, Unbroken is like a, I mean, that word doesn't even do justice for all the crap this dude went through.
I actually have that on audiobook. I listened to it. I bet you I've listened to that book 10 times.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and then they expect these guys to come home and just go right back to a normal life.
Right.
And, you know, even for us, well, you know, we had to take oath to not divulge certain information.
Right, yeah.
Then you throw us on a plane, bring us home, and nothing. Not, hey, how do you feel about what we did? You know, anything bothering you? And still to this day, you know. I mean, I got demons in my closet that I'm still fighting.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that Unbroken. And that's why I don't ever complain. It just, you know, those dudes were... just remarkable. Yeah,
it's just amazing to go. It's a miracle, honestly. I mean, despite the perseverance and everything, I mean, there's so many other factors to involve that just like how, you know, just how a person can get through all that stuff is just crazy. But
well, that one podcast you guys did, you talked about the suck factor, you know?
Yeah, with Garrett.
And I tell you what, it's... I mean, I lived in the middle of the desert in a fucking tank for almost a year with no running water. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's when we're out turkey hunting, especially like in South Dakota, it sucks. I mean, it's up and down and up and down and up and down. And I just always have that mentality like, at least I'm not in fucking Iraq.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's, you know, the guys and gals that are over there now and have everything. I mean, they have the one of, well, Joel and Donna, Donna's son's over there right now.
Oh, really?
Yep. So he just got deployed, but you sit and think about the suck factor. And I mean, I pay for the trips out to South Dakota pain wise in my leg, but I'm never going to stop.
Yeah.
Ever.
Mm-hmm.
The suck factor, it's not going to last forever. And that's, you know, talking to Hunter and the two a days and God, just, it sucks, Dad. I don't want to, I hate it. But dude, listen, you can't look at, and even in turkey hunting, you can't look at the end result and go, I have this much. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If you break that down and this, you know, trying to explain this, Hunter, dude, just think about getting to lunch. Yep. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. One foot in front of the
yep.
other.
Mm-hmm. Same thing with birds. Okay, that one didn't react or, you know, it's not doing what I want it to do. Mm-hmm. Well, let's go, boom, pack up and, you know, go up and over the mountain and let's go find another bird that, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it. That's why I never quit.
Mm-hmm.
I just never quit. And I want to be a top-notch caller.
Yeah.
I watch these guys on YouTube and I'm just, yeah, that's, I want to, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's. And being able to have that in your arsenal, all the calls, you know, if I don't try this, then I won't know. You know yeah. what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you pull out that one call you haven't used in 5 years and scratch it up a little bit and hit it and they, boom, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Something different that yep. you haven't heard for a minute.
Yep. Yeah. Persistence is, especially in turkey hunt, patience and persistence.
The easiest day was yesterday.
Yep.
One way yep. to look at it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, I mean, Hunter's kind of in his, I mean, it's his last, he's not on cruise control by any means because that dude is wide open.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's attacking this season knowing that it's his last. Mm-hmm. We don't know about the NFL draft or anything right now, but, you know, he just, you talk to him and he's got the same mentality. It's, yesterday's over, can't think about it, you know. And if I go out and I'm working birds and they're not responding or acting, you know, birdie, that can totally change in 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go out the next morning, you hit your call and they'll fly right in the roost, you yeah. know, mm-hmm. or off the roost into your decoys. And, you know, that to me is the big attraction.
Yeah.
It's, I love the chess game. And I love winning.
Yeah.
I love winning the matchup.
Yeah. And speaking of the, like the persistence, like you're talking about and the drive, you know, one of the things, and I've talked about this a bunch of times too, but I did an elk hunt in Idaho and the senior pastor from my church told me that I wouldn't get one. And in a way where it's like, it's tough,
yep.
you know what I mean? Like not to be rude, but it's tough and it's your first time. So, and that is all I needed to hear.
Yep, absolutely.
And I think, you know, sometimes like, you know, there's a lot of talk and a lot of people are starting to figure out, you know, about this, you know, a term called imposter syndrome. I think most people have it where you feel like you're not worthy of being who you are or the skills you have or the talents that you have, things like that. But in a lot of cases, that imposter syndrome, that voice in my head that's telling me I can't do something is sometimes all I need
yep.
to do it. You know what I mean? Like I'd have never thought we'd be this far into a podcast. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And I had the, you know, there was the drive to do it and I love it. I like doing it. I like every aspect of it. Editing, talking is the big part, but just everything that goes into it, reliving the conversation over and over
yeah.
again, because you don't get to do that in your everyday conversations. Nope. You know, you can replay them in your head, but to listen back, you know, and I mean, gosh, there'll be times where I'm like on my fifth time through a conversation that I had with somebody and I picked up something that I might not have heard,
yeah.
you know, because I'm trying to multitask too. Like sometimes, you know, you might be talking and then I'm like, oh, I real quick got to, you know, check this or check the camera, make sure everything's recording, make sure everything's going on. And I might miss a small detail. But anyway, yeah. So to go to that persistence. And then I think about situations in that book, Unbroken too, where it's like, there was one POW that, ended up, he got chained to a tree and was left there in the cold with just basically a loincloth for 10 days. And I'm like, 10 days? Can you imagine? 10 days. But then ultimately when one of the things that helps me get through is thinking back on some of the trials and tribulations or some of the more painful things I've had to get through. And it's like, even though in the moment it's painful and it's hard to get through, like, it's all, when you think about it, it's like, man, it went by almost too fast.
Yep.
So I just keep telling myself that, like, in the end, it'll have gone by probably faster than you wanted it to. And then, you know, there's something to be learned on the other side. You know,
absolutely.
That pain, you know, can, it just makes you better both physically and mentally.
And that's, which, dude, it is. That's you climb into the turkey blind. I don't care if it's the first time or the thousandth time. Mm-hmm. And it's just nothing but quiet. And if you can't get close to God, then you're not human. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm so thankful for everything that He's blessed me with.
Yep.
I mean, I got great freaking kids. I don't know how I ended up with such good kids. You know, my daughter graduates May 11th. She graduated high school with her associate's degree. And
wow.
Yeah.
That's
so
awesome.
She graduates May 11th from stupid NDSU. I got to go sit in that crappy dome for 4 hours on graduation day without a jackrabbit hat on. But, you know, like with Hunter, I know, he went on a terror killing birds when, I think it was our second or third trip to South Dakota, and it was by Deuce Hill. You remember Deuce Hill?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I remember how it just goes down, and we were set up there, and Hunter was probably a senior in high school, and he just looks at me, he turns and looks at me, and he goes, man, this place is beautiful. He gets it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's is it about the bird? Yes, but no. It's what's surrounding it. And that was a great dad moment because I just sat there and just went, he totally gets why we do this. Mm-hmm. You know? I can't explain. I need to go to counseling. Is there Turkeys Anonymous?
All right, folks. Well, that brings us to the end of this episode. If you want to find the Range Podcast on Facebook or Instagram, you can find us there. Also, make sure you look up Vapor Trail and Stokerized on our social channels. Hollywood, if people want to look you up, where can they find you?
Underneath a Rock. Jake Ivy3 on Instagram and Jake Iverson on Facebook. Hollywood in the quotes.
Excellent. What about you, Charles? What if somebody wants to shoot you a question about turkey hunting?
The Instagram is gobblegetter.
Gobblegetter.
That's not the most fitting one.
Gobble _ awesome. Getter.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. So make sure you head over there, look him up, and then you can also, you know, kind of follow along too to see what's going on with Hunter. He's a rock star. That kid is going to do a lot of good things in life. So
he's on a good path.
Yeah, for sure. If you want to find the video version of this episode, you can look us up on the Vapor Trail YouTube channel. Make sure you give us a like, subscribe, and hit that bell so you can be up to date on all things archery. And with that,
we're going to pack up our bows and go shoot some 3D. Peace.
And hopefully some turkeys.
Yeah.
Wednesday morning.
Thanks, Charles.
Thank you.
Appreciate you, man.
Vapor Trail is now offering an exclusive discount to the Range Podcast listeners. Enter promo code TRP15, that's TRP15, at checkout for 15% off VTX bowstrings and Vapor Trail and Stokerized branded t-shirts, hats, and other gear.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.